Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing, and we're on volume 30. 11/4/1931. My daughter Louisa, the more you retain, the more you remain abandoned in me. And this abandonment is so essential. Jesus is our life. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our King. He's our everything. And he says, the more you remain abandoned in me, the more you shall feel my divine life in you. So the more we turn to God, the more time we spend in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And if you can't, you know, get to a church to be with our Eucharistic Lord, you can have Jesus in your room on the internet, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, and blessing him, worshiping him. What a great blessing that we have today, that God can be with us. We can see God anytime we want in the Blessed Sacrament. He says, the more you remain abandoned to me, the more you shall feel my divine life in you. And I, listen to this, shall take the primary place, the place of primary life in your soul. This is what God wanted with Adam. Image and likeness. The image and likeness of God reigned in Adam's soul. And this is now can happen to us, not only in a saintly way, which we've learned for the last 2,000 years, but now with these truths, these promises that Jesus gives to Louisa, we enter into this life more intimately than ever before. He says, and I shall take the place of primary life in your soul. He says, now know that true confidence in me forms the arms of the soul. So when we believe in Jesus, when we have confidence in him as our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, we grow arms, he says, spiritual arms, and the feet in order to climb up to me, to clasp me so tightly. Think of a little child climbing up on the laps of his mother. You know, this is what Jesus is saying. I want you to come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. He says this. He says, to clasp me so tightly that I, God, cannot unbind myself from that soul. So he becomes our primary life. We are one with him, fused with him in his most holy divine will. So he says, the soul who has no confidence in Jesus, has no arms, nor feet. That soul is a poor cripple. So what is Jesus saying? Our confidence is in him, not in the situation, not in what we have to go through in this life. Our confidence is in him, and him alone. If he is our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our King, our God, if we don't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if we don't spend time in front of our crucified Lord, we will not have confidence in him. But if we spend time with our Lord, we know he is our Savior. He's our King. He's our God. He says, and we're not a cripple anymore. We can climb unto him and say, Lord Jesus, this is a tough time at this point. I trust you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no doubts, and to the point of no sin. This is what God is calling us to. He says this, therefore, your confidence shall be your victor over me, victory over me. And I, God, shall hold you tightly in my arms, attached to my breast, to give you the continuous milk of my divine will, like a good mother feeding her child. Jesus says, I will take care of you. I don't worry about anything. I will take care of you. This is what God loves to see, our confidence, our trust in him. When you read the lives of the saints, when they would be going through their martyrdoms, the saints would cry out to God with confidence and trust. You know, they would cry out to Jesus and Mary. This is what's happening with the souls in the divine will. We have such trust and confidence in him that we can say to God, do with me as you will. I trust you. Do with me as you want. I trust you. Volume 30, 11, 9, 1931. My daughter, my divine will is untiring, wanting to maintain divine life and the divine order, the divine balance of all human generations and of the entire universe. It cannot or does not, does nor does it want to cease its divine work. More so, since each motion, as though giving birth by it and bound with inseparable bonds, an image of it is the air. While no one sees it, it gives birth to the breathing, the breath of the creatures, and is inseparable from human respiration. Oh, if the air, Jesus says, ceased to work its work of letting itself be breathed, the life of all creatures would suddenly cease. Now, God has all the acts of creatures, and the number of their acts is established. Now, this is very, very important. We have a certain number of heartbeats, certain number of breaths that we take, certain number of steps that we take that has been planned by God. This is our life. This is our cross. And our job is to do what God wants. Now, there's a certain number of prayers that God is expecting of us. And this is why he created us, to accomplish what he has planned. You know, it's really a glorious thing to realize that our times are limited. The evil one says there's plenty of time. Don't worry about anything. No, there's a limited time. Jesus wants us to know that. He says, everything is established by God. He says to Louisa, you're not here one moment longer or one more short moment shorter than what I have planned for you. Okay, he says, this is what he has. He knows what we're going to do. He knows how fast we drive. And if that's too fast, our life won't last very long. He knows what we eat, what we drink, what we do. If we endanger ourselves with, you know, situations that are dangerous, he knows all this. You know, it's I cannot understand why people don't realize that we're here just for a very short period of time. And God is asking us to accomplish what he has planned for our lives. And when we do this, how glorious is this? So he says this. So the commitment of these acts, because they are established by God, is taken by my divine will. It orders them. It places its life in them. But who gives the fulfillment to these acts established by the Supreme Being? The soul who cooperates with them and lets herself be dominated by the divine will. Now, Jesus has his plan for us, and a lot of times when we get in the way, it's not God's plan, but God allows it. He says, okay, you can choose which life you want to live, and if you lose your life because of what you choose, God says, okay, you have taken that point. You have a free will. So God, it's always God who's in charge, and he knows what we want. I remember praying once, and I said to the Lord, you know, this was before I was ordained. I said to the Lord, do you want me to be crucified? And what I got in prayer was, it depends on how you live. It was like, it depends on how you live, whether you'll be crucified or not. So see, God has everything planned. And if this is what God is calling us to, you know, martyrdom, if this is what God wants, so be it. If this is the plan of God for our glory and his glory, then so be it. We always say fiat to God. Oh, this is what's necessary. So he says this, with the cooperation and with the dominion, the soul feels the bond of inseparability from the divine will and feels its divine life flow in her acts. The act of breathing, of your heart beating, you can participate in this divine life of God that God wants us to have. This life that he breathed into the dust for Adam. Adam came out in God's image and likeness. And it's the same thing. God is going to teach us how to do this. The more that we read, the more that we study. Volume 30, 11, 16, 19, 31. My daughter, to love means to possess. This is great. And wanting to make the beloved person or objects its own. To love means bond, whether of friendship or of kingship or of sonship, according to the greater or lesser intensity of the love. So if between the creature and God, there is no void of divine love, if all his acts run towards God's to love God, if they have their origin in love and in love they end, if he looks at all things that belong to the Supreme Being as his own, this says love of son toward his father. Because in this way, one does not go out either in of the divine properties or of the house of his celestial father. So again, he's saying to us, I want to teach you how to become a true son and daughter of God. How I have planned for you this eternal life, the kingdom of heaven. This is what he did with Louisa. This is what he did with the Blessed Mother first. And now the newborn second, if you want to say. This abundant life is what God wants us to begin to live. And he says this very, very clearly. He says, in fact, true love constitutes a right in the creature, a right of divine sonship, a divine daughtership, the right of divine participation in the divine rights, a right to be divinely loved. This isn't human. It's to enter into this abundant life. Because of Adam's sin, we have fallen and we are in the fallen human nature. Jesus has redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now 2,000 years later, he shows Louisa how to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. We've learned how to do the will of God through the saints. Now Jesus wants us to learn how to live in the will of God through his little newborn. Volume 30, 12, 6, 19, 31. Therefore, let me do. This is so important. We have to let God do this in us. He's doing it. He is doing it. I, God, want you to be happy with what I, God, do. If you want to be happy, think that each hour of your life is a pledge of love that you give to me, God, that shall serve to bind me, God, to love you more. Aren't you happy? So when we wake up in the morning and we do our prevening act, it's to fuse ourselves with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through the reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to fuse ourselves to creation, to fuse ourselves with redemption, to fuse ourselves with sanctification. As we begin the day, one with God, don't you? He says, if you want to be happy, think of each hour of your life as a pledge of love that you give me and serve to bind me to love you more. Aren't you happy? This is the divine will. This is why the children of the divine will are always happy. It's they're in an intimate relationship with Jesus. It's magnificent. Beloved daughter of my divine will, to live in the divine will means to recognize its paternity. And as the soul feels herself a daughter or a son, and the soul wants to be close, clasped on the knees of her father to live in his house. How can you not be happy? By right, because she recognizes herself as a birth from God who with so much love generated her, delivered her to the light of the day. And she looks at all the other things as extraneous. without the sweet bond, either of paternity or of daughtership or of sonship. So she sees with clarity that by going out of the house of her father, she would be a lost daughter who would not have a nest in which to form her abode. We are one with God. See, that's why each father of a family should consecrate his house to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This becomes their house. This becomes a little house of Nazareth where you are filled with joy. You're in God's house. It's his now. If you own a business, give it to Jesus and Mary. It's their business now. There's nothing to worry about. If they want the business to succeed, it will succeed. If they don't want it to succeed, okay, God's got another plan. And you got to say, okay, Lord, you got to show me what I need to do now. See, this intimate relationship is so special to the Lord. He needs us. He needs us to recognize it. Volume 30, 12, 8, 1931. You must know. Now, this is a command from Jesus Christ. You must know this. That Mary, the Sovereign Queen, even from Immaculate Conception, was the first and only creature who formed the link of connection between God and creature, broken by Adam. Our Lady accepted the divine mandate to bind God and men together. She bound them with her prime acts of fidelity, her acts of sacrifice, her acts of heroism, of making her human will die in each one of her acts, not once, but always, 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 to make that of God live again in mankind, in, through, and for her. As God is one in, when, through, and as Our Lady was in, when, through, and for him. This is so amazing what Our Lady has done. This is so amazing. From this sprang forth a font of divine love and cemented God and man and all their acts, so that Our Lady's acts, her maternal love, her dominion of queen, are cement of the acts of the creatures to render them inseparable from her own. So when we offer something up to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, they become Jesus and Mary's. And once they're in the hands of Jesus and Mary, they can present it to God perfectly. You know, this is what's so beautiful. So her acts, her maternal love, her dominion, the queen, are cement that the acts of the creatures that make her Mary, their mother, their queen, to render them inseparable from her own acts, unless someone ungrateful would refuse to receive the cement of love from his own mother. And that's Our Lady. Our Lady is our mom. Our Lady is our mother. She's our queen. And that's why we have statues of Our Lady, to say to the world, here's my mom, here's my mother, here's my queen. And if you have a statue outside, make sure you put a light on her. If you have a statue inside, make sure she has a crown on. She should be recognized, not as a woman, but as our mother, our queen. Volume 31, 12, 1932. My divine will is everything. John Paul II said that once in one of his talks. The divine will is everything. We have to begin to understand this gift that our God is giving to us. The divine will is everything. And in order to give itself to the creature, it wants to be recognized. It wants to interact. It wants to negotiate with her. And the more you visit the divine will in its acts, the more bound and committed it finds itself. It begins the dispersing of its capital. So you get the wealth of the divine will by recognizing the divine will. When everything becomes fiat in the divine will, you become very rich. And I'm not talking about money. You become filled with peace, joy, and happiness. You begin to live this abundant life with Jesus and Mary. So he says, all the truths, all the knowledges, all the manifestations, all the promises in the book of heaven that I have given to you, Louisa, about my divine will that we are now reading, has it perhaps been not been capital, this gold that I have made in your soul? It is so exuberant that it can fill the whole entire world with light, with love, with sanctity, with grace, with peace. That's what you're going to discover with this gift of the divine will. It's a new beginning for all mankind. My divine will, with its power, forms the sweet chains and identifies and transforms God and the creature in such a way that God feels redone in the creature. And the soul feels redone in God. It's a birth, a new birth. Only in my divine will, how admirable and powerful you are. Oh, my divine will, how admirable and powerful you are, divine will. Extend your sweet chains and bind God and creatures so that all mankind may return back into your divine womb. As Jesus says, all mankind return back to my divine womb. We go full circle, never to be separated from God, never to lose the holy innocence one with God, never to lose the holy purity and beauty of God. That's where we're going. Volume 30, 130, 1932. So together with our gifts, we render the creature herself inseparable from us trying God, because the soul does not have the necessity and the holy nourishments with which to nourish our gifts. And we offer to give gifts and nourishment in order to nourish our divine sanctity, our celestial graces. See, God is doing this. We are being nourished by God himself. This is why he says, come to my lap and I will feed you. So we are in the continuous act of being together with the soul to give the soul now the food to nourish our divine sanctity, on our divine sanctity. Now food to nourish our divine strength. Now distinct food to nourish our divine beauty. In sum, we, Triune God, are around the soul and always busy giving different nourishments to each gift we have given her. And this serves to preserve, to grow, and to crown our gifts. And the happy soul is also crowned with and in our own divine gifts. True children of God. Therefore, to give a gift to the creature serves to bind us to the soul. And with the soul, not only to nourish it, but we, Triune God, give as pledge our divine work, the inseparability of our divine life, our very life. It's not about just being good and holy and saintly anymore. It's about sharing in divinity. Again, which the priest puts, when he puts a drop of water in the chalice every day, may we share in the divinity. Are these just words? Or does it mean more than we can imagine when the priest puts the drop of water into the chalice? It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. The drop of water becomes wine. Sharing in divinity. That's what's coming. Volume 32, 6, 1932. My daughter, each time you form an act of yours in the act of my divine will, every time we do our prevenient act and our actual acts, as many more bonds do you form in the divine will, remaining confirmed as many times for as many acts as you do in the divine fiat. And the divine will remains confirmed as many more times in you. It's an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. And it's an explosion of I love yous coming back to mankind. For each bond and confirmation that you form, each I love you in the divine will, my divine will expands its seas, its oceans around you. And as confirmation, it places in it the one of its truths, one of its promises, one of its manifestations, one of its knowledges as seal, and manifests to you one more degree of divine value that my divine will contains. He says this, but do you know what these additional bonds, confirmation, truths, knowledges, values, that you come to know do in your soul? What does it do in your soul? They make the life of my divine will grow in you. It's to share in divinity. It's to participate in God, with, in, through, and for God. See, the saints were to know, love, and serve God. Jesus says in the divine will, it's to know, love, and possess God. There's a great difference between serving and possessing. So he says this, they make the life of my divine will grow in you. Not only this, but by repeating your acts, they shall have as many more degrees of value for as much more as you have known. So the more you learn, the more you possess. Every truth, every promise that you learn, every manifestation that you learn, you possess it. You become one with God in a deeper, more intimate manner. It's not about just doing the will of God like the saints have taught us, but living in the will of God as Jesus did, as Mary did. This is what they gave to Louisa, and now God wants to give it to us. This is a glorious time to be alive. Volume 30, 313, 1932. So I was thinking to myself, Jesus has shackled me and bound me with chains such that there is no danger that they might break, and I am indeed the poor prisoner. We want to become a poor prisoner like Louisa. What did she do? She would visit Jesus in the Eucharist. When she was in the orphanage, St. Anthony's orphanage in Corrado, every day she would look at Jesus in the tabernacle and say, you are my prisoner and I am your prisoner. This is an important time. We've had a year where there's been a lot of people put in isolation, confinement. This has been a great year for those souls who are reading the Book of Heaven to be in confinement, a prisoner with Jesus. I mean, this is a great act of mercy God has given to mankind. And if we have the Book of Heaven and are reading it, studying it, it's been a glorious prison, shackled with Jesus. That's what God is showing us. Oh, how I would like my celestial mother and my company so that under her guidance, I may live the way one should live in the divine will. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus repeated his short little visit and all tenderness told me, my dear prisoner, how happy I am, he uses God's name, and that I shackled you and bound you, because my shackles and my chains, that my love alone to keep you at my disposal, has used shackles and chains to make you a prisoner only for me. But do you know why? Love wants it, tit for tat. If I made you a prisoner, first I made myself a prisoner for you in your own heart. Jesus saying, if you haven't consecrated your heart to be the throne for Jesus, you haven't begun to even live in the divine will. That's the first stage. Jesus is a prisoner in our heart. Our heart becomes his throne. First, I made myself a prisoner for you in your own heart, not wanting to be alone. I made you a prisoner so as to be able to say, we are two prisoners, such that one cannot be without the other. In this way, we shall be able to prepare the kingdom of my divine will to come on earth as it is in heaven. Everything's ready. It's close. It's not at hand. It's here for those who want it. Volume 30, 327, 1932. The first thing we give is the knowledge of what we want to make of the soul. So the first thing is the knowledge, these manifestations, these truths, these promises. Jesus says, I want you to know what we're going to do. That's what the Book of Heaven is. And then we can give and do what we, Triune God, have disposed, what God has planned is going to happen, but he wants us to know what he's going to do. So knowledge can be called the beginning, the void, the seed, in which to place the sacrifice of our things to make the beautiful prayer arise that debilitates us and chains us with chains, with inseparable bonds, and makes us grant what the soul wants. What does the soul want? What does the soul really want? To be one with God again. To be in God's image and likeness again, as it was in the beginning. And that's what God is doing. He's saying, he says, the way to do this is to learn from Jesus himself the knowledges, the truths, the manifestations, the promises that he gave to Louisa. And as we learn this, we fall more and more in love with our God to the point where it seems like it's almost inconceivable. Remember that movie? Inconceivable that God is doing this. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning for all of mankind. God is doing this. He's planned, he's predestined that we would be living at this time to give to us the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Give to us what they gave to Louisa. This is a glorious time. 5:34, 25, 19, 32. Therefore, I am, he uses God's name, I am acting as a king who would want to elevate the family to a bond of relationship with his own royal family. We're going to be clothed in divinity. And this is why we wear the scapular. The reason we wear the scapular is we're saying to the Blessed Mother, I want to be clothed in divinity again. I want the royal garments of heaven, of my celestial fatherland again. Adam was naked because he lost his clothing of divinity. Jesus was stripped at Calvary. Why? To take the place of Adam, stripped of his royalty. In order to do this first, he takes a member of it. He keeps her in his royal palace, raises her, dines with her, accustoms her to his noble manners, entrusts to her his secrets. In order to make her worthy of himself, he makes her live of his will and be more sure not to let her descend to the lowliness of her family. He gives her his will as gift that she may hold it in her power. What the king cannot do, I, God, can do. By locating my divine will so as to give it to the creature as gift. That's what he did with Louisa. He first did it with the Blessed Mother. And now he's done it with Louisa, the newborn. So the king keeps his eyes fixed upon her, keeps embellishing her continuously, clothes her with precious, beautiful clothes in such a way that he feels enamored. And unable to wait any longer, he binds her to himself with the lasting bond of marriage in such a way that one becomes the gift of the other. That's what marriage is. That's why he calls heaven the wedding feast. He's going to marry his bride collectively, but also individually. With this, on both sides, they have the right to reign, and that family acquires the bond of relationship with the king, and the king out of love for the one who has donated herself to him. That's the consecration we make. And to whom he has donated himself, that's God's response to our consecration to him. Calls the family to live of his royal palace, giving to it the same gift that he gave to the one whom he so much loves. That's us. Now, after we have given the gift of our fiat to the one member of the human family, the family acquires the bond and the rights to this gift. So as Jesus says, after now I've done this with Louisa, as I did it to Adam, and Adam lost it, Jesus and Mary come to earth to start this universal life again. What does Jesus do? He is the new Adam. Mary is the new Eve. And now they have a newborn, Louisa, the firstborn in the divine will. Now that we have given the gift of our fiat to the one member of this human family, the family acquires the bond, the rights to this gift. In fact, we never do and works and gifts for one alone. But when we do works and gifts, we do them always in universal ways, in Catholic ways. So this gift shall be ready for everyone as long as they want it and dispose themselves. Therefore, the living in my divine will is not a property of the creature, nor it is in her power. It is a gift from God. This is why he calls the divine will the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. What God is doing, he saved the best for last. And I, God, give it whenever I, God, want to whomever I, God, want, and in times that I, God, want. It is a gift of heaven, given from our great magnanimity and from our inextinguishable love. Now, with this gift, the human family shall feel so bound back to its God as to no longer feel far away from him, but so close to God as if it were from his own family, and live together in his own royal palace. That's where we are. That's why the little children of the Holy Divine Will are happy. This is what Jesus has said, and we believe it. We trust in him. We have confidence in him. And what he's doing, he has to do. He has to have what he planned with Adam be fulfilled. Jesus redeemed, Mary co-redeemed. He took the new Adam and the new Eve, and gave it to the newborn Louisa so that we can possess it. This is what's coming. Volume 5, 15, 32. Blessed daughter, all the acts that my divine will does are so bound to one another as to be inseparable in such a way that if one wants to find them at first sight, one finds one act alone, but on entering deeper inside, one finds many acts, one distinct from the other, though fused and bound together, so much so that they cannot be detached. So we're seeing that everything in creation, everything in redemption is now sanctification. It's all ours. It's a union of inseparability. He says this, this force of union inseparability forms the nature of the divine operating. We are entering, re-entering into the life that God originally planned for Adam. The true life of Jesus now, the true life of Mary. Now through the newborn Louisa, God is saying, I want you to enter into this life. Get ready for magnificent things. Get ready for this abundance of life that's coming. We haven't seen anything yet. This is what's coming. The very creation says it. If it, even just one star could detach itself from its place in which it is connected with all other created things, it would fall and would cause general chaos in all other created things. So great is the inseparability and union that everything has in creation, redemption, and sanctification. We are entering into this plan of God, this life of God that he wanted for all of us from the beginning of time. Volume 30, 6:17, 1932. Furthermore, for the creature who lives in my divine will, there is nothing that belongs to my fiat over which the soul does not acquire her rights. There's nothing that belongs to the fiat of God that the soul does not acquire her rights in the with, through, and for our God. Rights over the divine being. Rights over the celestial Mama Mary. Rights over the angels, rights over the saints, rights over the heavens, rights over the sun, rights over the whole creation. Everything belongs to us. We participate in that eternal now of God. We participate in that life of God past, present, and future as one. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. That's why you fuse yourself with this in the morning when you do your prevenient act. You want, God has given you all of creation. It's yours. He's given you all of redemption. It's yours. He's given you a life of sanctification. It's yours. And he says, are you willing to enter into this? And God, the Virgin, and everyone acquires the right over us. And we all participate in that infinite ocean of love. That's the divine will. We all participate in the infinite ocean of love. It happens when two young spouses united themselves together in an insoluble bond, such that on both sides they acquire the right over their very persons, over everything that belongs to both, a right that no one can take away from them. Blessed daughter, my holy humanity, so love the human family that I, God, carried and still carry inside my sacred heart and clasped in my arms in each pain, work, prayer that I, Jesus, did, were new bonds of union between me and mankind. Redemption belongs to us. So the whole of my being and everything I, Jesus, did ran like a mighty torrent toward each soul. And melting into love, it constituted itself bond of union, bond of love, bond of sanctity, bond of defense, that forming arcade of voices of penetrating, passionate, delirious love said to each soul, this is the voice of God. Penetrating, passionate, delirious love said to each one of us, I love you, my children. I love you very much. And I, God, want to be loved. My holy humanity reordered and established the true union between creator and creature and bound them all among themselves like members united to the head. And I myself constituted myself head of the whole human family. Therefore, virtue possesses of its own the binding force to bind oneself to God. And not only this, but to bind oneself to the creatures in such a way that for the one who exercises patience, her patience is bound then to all those who have patience and disposes the others to have patience. In the same way, those who are obedient, humble, charitable form in the different categories in my church. What I tell to you then are the most extensive bonds that the one who does and lives in my divine will forms. So here Jesus is saying what the saints have done now is going to be magnified because Jesus in us is doing it. Since she is present both in heaven and earth, she establishes her bonds everywhere with everyone. And with her act, she binds heaven and earth. She calls everyone to live of the divine will. This is where we are. Jesus is doing this. And he's asking us, do you want to participate in this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that they have given to Louisa? Our response should be yes. Our response should be fiat. So we'll end there and come back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.